ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పంత్యంతర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. సద్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బిఫోర్ వి స్టార్ట్ ది నెక్స్ట్ సిరీస్ ఆఫ్ వెబినార్స్ ఆన్ శివానంద లగరి, ఐ వాంట్ టు ఆఫర్ మై సాష్టాంగ నమస్కారంస్ అట్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ మై గురు జగద్గురు శ్రీ శ్రీ భారతీ తీర్థ మహాస్వామీజీ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ శారదాపీఠం శృంగేరి అండ్ ది సన్నిధానం శ్రీ శ్రీ విధుశేఖర భారతి మహాస్వామీజీ ఆఫ్ శృంగేరి శారదాపీఠం అండ్ ది పరమాచార్య ఆఫ్ శ్రీ కాంచీ కామకోటి పీఠం స్వామి దయానంద, స్వామి చిన్మయానంద అండ్ స్వామి పరమార్థానంద ఫార్ ఆల్ దర్ డిస్కోర్సెస్ అండ్ రైటింగ్స్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ విచ్ I am able to give these lectures today. So the Wednesday webinars from today on is going to be devoted to a new series of discussions on another very important work of Adi Shankaracharya called Shivananda Lahari. As was mentioned during the introduction to our Tattvabodha lectures, Adi Shankaracharya's works can be divided broadly into three major categories, namely the Bhashya Granthas. Bhashya Granthas are those which are commentaries, particularly on the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita and the Brahma Sutras, and the Prakarana Granthas, which give the fundamental concepts of Vedanta, those of even in Tattva Bodha, Atma Bodha, Viveka Chudamani lectures are going on now on Tuesdays. And Stotra Granthas, and all the Stotra Granthas, they are all hymns or meditation verses in praise of various devatas, such as Ganesha Pancharatnam, Meenakshi Pancharatnam, Saundarya Lahari, Shivananda Lahari, and all those. And among the Stotra Granthas, two texts, they stand out for their poetic splendor and bhakti, namely Shivananda Lahari and Saundarya Lahari. Both of them consist of 100 shlokas. Saundarya Lahari itself can be split into two sections. The first section is known as Ananda Lahari, comprising shlokas 1 to 41. And the remaining shlokas are called Saundarya Lahari, even though the entire text is generally known as Saundarya Lahari. Whereas the entire text of Shivananda Lahari, it has no such separate divisions. And for this series of seminars, any book, textbook is okay for you to follow the shlokas. However, there could be some differences in some places. Whenever I come across, I will mention. And before going to the actual text, let us look at a few concepts. And in this series of webinars, we will take some shlokas for an elaborate discussion while going through the remaining shlokas only with cursory meaning. And I will be using the lectures of Swami Paramarthananda as the primary source of these discussions for the selected shlokas, even though for the rest of the shlokas, we will be using various other sources. And this work deals with Shiva Bhakti, like Saundarya Lahari dealing with Devi Bhakti. And before we go into the text, let us understand briefly the concept of Bhakti itself. The Narada Bhakti Sutras, they talk about Navavidha Bhakti, 9 types of Bhakti: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. So these are 9 different types of bhakti. Instead of we can say Vishnoho, we can replace it maybe by Shamboho, because we are talking about Shivananda Lahari now. Shravanam. Shravanam means listening to the glory of the Lord. Kirtanam, singing the glory of the Lord. Smaranam, remembering the Lord always. Padasevanam. Padasevanam means doing varieties of service to the Lord. Archanam, doing archana, pushparchana, all those kinds of, you know, worship. Vandanam, doing namaskaras. Dasyam, being the dasa of the Lord, following his commandments, that is following the dharma, what should be done, what should not be done, dharma anushtanam, or doing noble activities, that is, I can call myself proudly as a Shiva dasaha. So the pride, I am not a local dasa of somebody, but I am Shiva dasa. So that kind of attitude. And finally, atma nivedanam, Vedanta vichara, going through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam and all that. And that alone is not discussed in Sivananda Lahari, which we will be seeing now when we want to analyze the bhakti concept. So the bhakti means devotion or love to the Lord directed towards something higher or nobler or sacred than ourselves. For example, the Lord, the Guru, Guru Bhakti, our parents, Pitru Bhakti, Matru Bhakti, towards one's own country, Desha Bhakti. So this is bhakti, love and devotion directed towards something higher, nobler than ourselves. Whereas the love towards a child is called vatsalya. So between the love between something higher, sacred, nobler, and the one love towards the child. So this is how we distinguish between them. And this bhakti towards the Lord can be analyzed from different angles. For example, bhakti from one angle may be based on the concept of God towards whom the love or devotion is directed. So we call it devata drishtya bhakti, the bhakti from the angle of the God, from based on one's own motive. Or there could be another angle based on one's motive, which one has love, called bhavana drishtya. Bhavana means the motive or attitude. So one is devata drishtya, another is based on our attitude, bhavana drishtya bhakti. Or it can be based on the religious sadhana that it brings out of us, sadhana drishtya bhakti. And as a person grows in spirituality, more mature, that bhakti gets polished and it shines better. And from each angle, bhakti can be further divided into three based on the level of maturity of the devotee. For example, devata drishtya bhakti, there could be trivida bhakti, three types in that alone. Bhavana drishtya bhakti, there could be trivida bhakti in that. And sadhana drishtya bhakti also will have trivida bhakti. So a total of navavida bhakti, nine different bhaktis. So this approach is different from the one that we just saw in the Narada Bhakti Sutras. Some of those things can be clubbed into that, whereas this is another approach. But bhakti itself is nothing but love or devotion towards Lord, but it has got so many dimensions depending on the angle from which one looks at it. Now let us try to understand each one of them in some detail, because Sivananda Lahari is a bhakti grantha. We need to understand the bhakti that is portrayed there in some detail. That is the reason in the introduction I want to discuss about the concept of bhakti. Now, if you take the devata drishtya bhakti, the first type, the concept of God. So when one says, I love God, what do we mean by that? In the initial stages, the God is a personal God. Like Shankha Chakra Gadadhari, you know, Pitamparadhari, Pakshastra Lakshmi. So the Mahavishnu, a personal God. So if a person wants to worship the Lord in that manner, or if it is Shiva, Jadadhari, Damarukadhari, a person with all the matter lock, you know, that kind of this thing. So the Shiva, so it's a personal God. So it could be Devi Bhakti, it could be Ganesha Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, it doesn't matter. So this is the first level of bhakti, where the God is taken as the intelligent creator of the world, the Nimitta Karanam, with infinite power and knowledge. So given a form of an Ishta Devata, we call it Eka Rupa Ishwara Bhakti. So that is the personal God, Eka Rupa Vishnu Bhakti or Ishwara Bhakti, that is devotion to the Lord who is endowed with one particular form. And the Dhyana Shlokas, they always give the form much more precisely for any devotion. This is important because it promotes a relationship with Lord as a person. It's a personal bhakti. It is very useful for emotional maturity because everyone requires a trustworthy, a reliable, permanent, patient, lasting relationship with the Lord. The importance of which will be known when the other relationships become shaky in the world, all other worldly relationships, when they all become shaky, we understand this relationship, the importance of this relationship, the one with on whom we can claim as our own, that Lord. And as we experience various situations in life, we will recognize the importance of something permanent as Shashvatam, because this is that kind of relationship with the Lord. So all these will be served by Eka Rupa Ishwara Bhakti. And this in this emotionally dominated bhakti, the devotee may not even understand how an all-pervading Lord can be only in Kailasa or Vaikuntha, because the Lord is all-pervading. But in this Eka Rupa Bhakti, he thinks he is in Kailasa or Vaikuntha. The intellect is generally in the background. Emotion dominates in this type of bhakti. And in the next category, as maturity comes, the intellect also takes part in devotion, that is in the second level. Now we are discussing Devata Drishtiya Bhakti, first category, and in that I said there are three types. We are now looking at the second type in that category. And in this level, the devotee recognizes that the Lord is not just in one form, but one should include all forms of creation. To have a particular form means what? Is to limit the Lord spatially within some boundaries. One may retain the name of the Lord, doesn't matter, but should understand that all forms are the Lord alone. So Shiva Bhakta or Vishnu Bhakta in the first stage will look at him as a person. But the same devotee, when he comes to the second stage, will look at that Lord as the entire creation, consisting of all forms. This is a change in concept with no change of word. Vishnu remains Vishnu, Shiva remains Vishnu only. But the attitude, the outlook has changed. So all differences are only in the preliminary stage. Who is great? Who is not great? Is Shiva great? Vishnu great? All those, they are only in the first stage. And this second stage of bhakti is called Aneka Rupa Ishwara Bhakti, devotion to the Lord, who includes all forms in creation, or Vishwarupa or Virat Rupa Ishwara Bhakti. The Lord as Vishwarupa or Virat Rupa. And in this stage, I will never stand away from the Lord. In the first stage, there is an urge for me to merge with the Lord, because I stand alone from the Lord in the Eka Bhakti, in the Eka Ishwara Bhakti. Here it is, Aneka Rupa Bhakti. I am not standing away from the Lord. And in the word merger of myself with the Lord, reaching the Lord, they will all become redundant, because all forms of the Lord are Lord's form, including my form. Since the Lord includes my form also, I am an integral part of the Lord. I am not separate from the Lord. In the first one, I am away from the Lord physically, but in the second one, I am not. And in the third category, type of bhakti in the same category is, once a person becomes even more analytical, his intellect questions even this Aneka Rupa Bhakti, because in the second stage, even if you take the Lord as the universe also, then the Lord is subject to what? Arrival during creation, during Srishti, and departure during Pralaya. And Lord as the universe is subject to modifications. And the Lord will be a mixture of pleasure and pain, good and bad. This is called Dvandvas, diametrically opposite experiences of Ishvara. And so the concept of Lord will not satisfy a subtle analytical intellect, because the Lord is subject to the concept of time. If the Lord has to be infinite, he has to be beyond time and space. Kala, Desa, Atita. So God should be Kala, Desa, Atita. The Lord should be who is the absolute Lord. And that absolute Lord will have which form? Eka Rupam or Aneka Rupam? Eka Rupa has limitation. Aneka Rupa is subject to time and change. So that Lord should be Arupa Ishwaraha, the Lord, the formless Lord, without any form. So we start with Eka Rupa Bhakti, we graduate to Aneka Rupa Bhakti, and culminate in Arupa Bhakti. And when you study the scriptures, we have the description of the Lord in all these three types. For example, if you take Sri Rudram itself, initially in the Nyasas, Shuddha Spatika Sankasham Trinetram Panchavaktrakam Gangadharam Dashabujam Sarva Bharana Bhushitam Neelagreevam Shashankankam Naga Yajnopavitinam. Describe the Lord as having all these. Neelagreeva, having all these, you know, Dashabujam, Sarvabharana Bhushitam, with all these ornaments and all. So Gangadharam, who is putting Ganges on his head. So that is how the Ekarupa Bhakti is there as a personal God. And later, as the Virat Rupam, Apatala Nabastalanda Bhuvana Brahmanda Mavispurat Jyotis Particle Linga Mauli Vilasat Purnenduvantamrudaihi. So the urge to merge with the Lord will go away when you think of the Lord as Vishwarupa. I am part of him, the Virat. And then the final definition of the Lord in Mandukya Upanishad, very interesting. It says, Adrishtam, Avyavaharyam, Agrahyam, Alakshanam, Achintyam, Avyapaveshyam, Ekatma Pratyavasharam, Prapanchopashamanam, Shantam, Shivam, Sundaram, Advaitam. Chaturtam manyante sa atma sa vigneyaha. So the Lord Shiva is neither ekarupa or anekarupa, but the one who is beyond all forms as described in this particular section of the Upanishad. So from the angle of Ishvara, the concept of bhakti is of three levels, and one should not ask here which one should be followed. Everyone should follow all the three. Start with Ishta Devata Bhakti, then go to Vishwarupa Bhakti, and culminate in Arupa Bhakti. So from Vedam to gradually to Advaitam. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam, culmination. So this is the angle from the Devata Drishti. Now when we go to the next second category, where we have got the three stages of Bhakti in the second category also, from the angle of motive with which we look at the Lord, the Bhavana. In the initial stages, Lord is used, you know, as one whose job is fulfilling all my desires. Then I enter into a contract with him. If you do this, I will do this. The Tirupati Hundi is full on January 1st. All contracts are made. If you do this much, I will give half of it to you. So many marriages of the Lord, they happen in Tirupati. There are so many Kalyanams conducted in the same way. Only God alone can take it. And people without children, they go here and there for doing this and that and all. And actually our own, this is a clean commercial bhakti. We ourselves are taught by our own children right from childhood. If you, you know, pass in the exam, you do so many things to the Lord and this and that. So this is called Ishvara Sadhanatva Bhavana. Looking at Ishvara as a means to accomplish worldly ends. If not, my bhakti gets diluted. It may even disappear also. So that is what this kind of bhakti is. And later, in the second stage, some understanding dawns on them. Then Ishvara is understood as limitless person. When I know Ishvara as Nityam, Purnam, Amritam, Ananda Swarupaha, etc., then Ishvara is no more a means, but becomes a goal of my life. All the time I was using Ishvara as a means to accomplish this and that so far, but now I think of Ishvara as my goal of my life, because what I want is security. I want peace. I want fulfillment. It is possible only from limitlessness. Any limited entity cannot provide us limitless security. Anything else is in the world is subject to time and space, and I cannot hold on to them. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhajamudamate, Samprapte, Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati. Anything subject to time is not reliable, because it will be taken by death at some point or the other. In Kathopanishad, Yamasarmadaja himself says, Paracha Kaman Anuyanti Balaha Te Mrityoryanti Vitatasya Pasham. He said, my net is spread all over, Yamadharmaraja says. That is column is spread, the time principle. ఇన్క్లూడింగ్ బ్రహ్మలోక. దట్ ఈస్ వై ఆ బ్రహ్మ భువనాన్ లోకాన్ పునర్ ఆవృత్తిన. ఎ పర్సన్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ గోస్ టు బ్రహ్మలోక, హీ హాస్ టు స్టిల్ కమ్ బ్యాక్. Once I know everything other than Lord cannot give me peace and security, then my goal will be to seek only God for peace and security, and my attitude will change. God is no more a means for worldly ends, but God is the end. Swami Dayananda says very, very beautifully, when the one end, namely the Lord, when the one end is missed, the ends are endless. The ends means all these finite ends. They are all endless. It has to be one only, because limitless has to be one only. There cannot be many limitless things. There can be only one limitless thing. This attitude towards Lord is called Ishvara Sadhyatva Bhavana. So Sadhana Bhavana, this is Sadhyatva Bhavana as a goal of life. All other goals are only intermediary goals. And the third type of bhakti in this category is, this is the final thing, when we understand more and more of Ishvara, we understand that Lord is neither means nor end, because both means and end will be different from me. That is, Bedam will be there. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is very, very clearly said, Yonyam Devatam Upaste అన్యోహ వన్యోహ మస్మీతి నస వేదం యథా పశూరే వగం స దేవానాం. వెరీ క్లియర్లీ ఇట్ సేస్, యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ వన్ లుక్స్ అప్ ఆన్ గాడ్ యాజ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్, హీఈస్ లైక్ ఎ పశు ఓన్లీ. సో ఇన్ ది హైయెస్ట్ లెవెల్ లార్డ్ ఇస్ నెయిదర్ సాధనం నార్ సాధ్యం బట్ మై సెల్ఫ్, విచ్ నీడ్ నాట్ బి అకాంప్లిష్డ్ ఇన్ టైమ్ అట్ ఆల్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్రెడీ అకాంప్లిష్డ్. We call it by another word, Siddham. So it is not Sadhyam nor Sadhanam, but it is called Siddham, neither Sadhanam nor Sadhyam. So Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnanam. So that is the culmination of the spiritual journey. So what are the three stages in this category? Ishvara Sadhanatva Bhavana, Ishvara Sadhyatva Bhavana, and Ishvara Siddhatva Bhavana. That is, first one, look at the Lord as the means, then as an end, and finally understand the Lord as oneself, myself. This is Bhavana Drishtya Trivida Bhakti. Now in the third and final category is Bhakti from the angle of Sadhana, that it brings out of me. Because Bhakti always expresses as a Sadhana. It is a spiritual exercise, devotional exercise. Here also there are three types of Sadhanas. Initially, Bhakti expresses in the form of karma, various actions, kayika karmani, varieties of rituals, activities, pujas, homas, bhajans, all those things come under the category. The Lord is no more an idol, more real than anyone around. We don't look at the Lord in the temple as some stone. He is more real. That's what we think of that Lord. So this is karma lakshana bhakti. In the form of actions, rituals, service to the Lord, Naraseva, Narayana Seva, Madhava Seva, all of them are expression of bhakti only. And this is presented in the Karma Kanda of the Vedas elaborately. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, the first six chapters, they talk about, they are karma pradhana. And the second type of bhakti in this category, as one advances, he wants to withdraw and giving these to the next generation. He doesn't want to do these things anymore. Because even the most sacred action, what it will do to my mind, it will make my mind only extrovert. It is bahirmukha mind only. It will not be antarmukha. So one has to turn the mind inward. One should be introvert, not extrovert. So kaschid dhiraha pratyagatmana maikshate avritta chakshushu. And Antarmukha Samaradhyaya Bahirmukha Sudarlabha. It's a beautiful shloka in the name of the Ambad, in Lalita Sahasranama. Actually, there is a story of which actually our Mahasannidhana, present Acharya Sri Bharatita Mahaswamiji narrated to us once. When himself and the then Mahasannidhana, his guru, Abhinav Vidyadhita Swamiji, both of them, when they went to Calcutta, they went to another mutt, which is also which considers Sringeri Peetham as their Guru Peetham. And they wanted to do Shiva Puja there. So for Mahasannidhanam, the Sannidhanam, and their Acharya, for all three of them, they made all elaborate arrangements for doing the puja. They all sat, and that Acharya and Sri Bharatitha Swamiji, they both started to do the puja in earnest with all the upacharas and all that thing. Very nice puja. They have got all the flowers, everything are all kept. They all did very nicely. And Mahasannidhanam, Abhinavidyatitha Swami was sitting by that side. And after they finished the puja, they looked at him. Whatever puja dravyas were kept for him for doing the puja, they were all just intact. Nothing was used. And he was just sitting, closing his eyes. And then after a minute, he opened his eyes and he said, "I did a great puja. I was so peaceful. It was so nice to me. No, so nice. I enjoyed the entire puja." Then he asked, "What about all these flowers and all these things that are Naivedyam, everything kept? Oh, you want me to put all of them on the head of Swami? There is no need for me to do any of them. I had already done a great puja." So it is Antarmukha Samaradhya. So that Acharya, he could see Ambar within him and did such a great Manasa puja. He felt so much happy. He was so the happiness in his face, Acharya described to me even, you know, so nicely. So that is this Antarmukha Samaradhya. So initially Bahirmukha only is required, because we need all these actions and rituals and all those things to do what? To break the tamoguna, the tamas in us. So since most of us are lazy, so to remove that, we have to have all that. So tamoguna will be broken only by rituals, by all these procedures. Then one drops all physical activities and switch to mental activities. So manasa vyaparaha, upasana pradana, all those things, they become focusing the mind towards the Lord. And finally, then jnana lakshana bhakti, mind is ready to acquire and study the scriptures at that time. This is the highest form of bhakti, Vedanta vicharaha. In Viveka Chudamani, we already saw this sloka. All those who are attending that lecture. So, moksha karana samagriyam bhakti reva gariyasi. Acharya said, if one wants to gain moksha, bakti is the one supreme, most supreme one to achieve, to use that. And he defined what bhakti is in the second line, where he said, swaswarupana sandhanam bhakti ritya vidiyate. To know what is your nature, your own nature, that is called bhakti, and that is attained through Vedanta Vicharaha, Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. So Karma Lakshana Bhakti, Upasana Lakshana Bhakti, and Jnana Lakshana Bhakti, this is from the angle of Sadhana. So to recap all the three categories, Devada Drishtya, we have three different types of Bhakti. Bhavana Drishtya, we have three different types of Bhakti. And Sadhana Drishtya, we have three different types of Bhakti, a total of 9 different bhaktis. So this is Navaveda Bhakti from another angle. So from Narada Bhakti Sutras, we saw Navaveda Bhakti earlier, and now this is another angle through which we look at the Navaveda Bhakti, the 9 different bhaktis. So in Sivananda Lahari, the Acharya will present predominantly the Eka Rupa Ishwara Bhakti, and maximum in some places Aneka Rupa Bhakti. So mostly Eka Rupa Ishwara Bhakti only, some places Aneka Rupa Bhakti. He does not come to Advaita Bhakti at all. Sivananda Lahari doesn't talk about Advaita Bhakti at all. He also deals with karma, puja of Lord Shiva, meditation of Shiva, but does not deal with inquiry into Shiva and Advaita. So karma lakshana, upasana lakshana, and Eka Rupa Bhakti, Aneka Rupa Bhakti, and that also Lord is as the end to be accomplished. A person to reach the Lord as the goal, not the Advaita end, that is the Arupa Shiva. It is only Eka Rupa Bhakti, so it is not the Advaita Bhakti. This is purely a Bhakti Grantha from these different angles. So that is what we wanted to make sure, the Sivananda Lahari is a Bhakti Grantha. The Acharya addresses totally a different audience, not the Vedanta audience. The Acharya with all his bhashyas, paragranthas and all, which talk about so much of Vedanta, he is talking about, talking to a totally different audience, the bhakti audience. And the Lord is not looked upon as a means for various ends, but as sadhyam, the very end itself, and not as siddham, the abheda aikya shiva. So not as siddham, as we told, the sadhana, sadhya and siddha. So it's looked as sadhya, the goal. This is the bhavana. So the sadhana does, they talked about is what? Varieties of karma and upasana, and not the jnana yoga sadhana or vichara sadhana. That is not talked here. Shiva leelas, lot of Shiva leelas, Shiva avatara kathas, shravanam of all of them, all those things are given, not any Vedanta shravanam. So we have varieties of karma and upasana mentioned in Shivananda Lahari. We are going to see most of them. And this is the dimension of bhakti found in this text. Not only that, the Acharya talks about Shiva bhakti, Shiva vibhuti. And Shiva bhakti also, and Shiva vibhuti also, the Acharya talks about them. It is a beautiful poetic literary work of the Acharya. It's a beautiful poetic literary work of the Acharya. The verses occur in different meters, giving variety to the taste. For example, in Saundarya Lahari, the entire Saundarya Lahari of all 100 shlokas, they are in the same meter called the Shikharini meter. Actually, we did the lectures on Saundarya Lahari long ago. I don't know how many might remember among the people who are attending these lectures. But all the shlokas there are all of the same meter called the Shikharini meter. Whereas Shivananda Lahari is a literary beauty, and all the shlokas, they are not at the same meter. There are different meters. And this also reveals another important fact, that being an Advaitin does not mean losing Dvaita Bhakti. Very important. Being an Advaitin does not mean losing Dvaita Bhakti. Advaita Bhakti is not opposed to Dvaita Bhakti. It does not replace Dvaita Bhakti. In fact, Advaita Bhakti is an ornamentation to Dvaita Bhakti. There is a very beautiful sloka elsewhere. Dvaitam mohaya bodhat prak prapte bhote manishaya pujartam kalpitam dvaitam advaitad api sundaram. There's a beautiful sloka. Advaitad api sundaram. More beautiful than even advaitam. Pujartam kalpitam dvaitam. Dvaitam is a cause of, you know, people look at duality and all that thing only before Advaita Jnanam. After Advaita Jnanam, when we voluntarily come to Dvaitam and invoke Dvaita Bhakti, it is no more cause of any such Vedas at all. In fact, the author says that it is even more beautiful than Advaitam. Advaita Atapi Sundaram. That's what he says. It is like our enjoying, for example, a movie. We know fully well it is a movie. Because right during the movie also we know, before sitting the movie also, and after the movie also we know it's a movie only. But one good advantage is we can come out of it at will, whenever we want. Similarly, a ripe Advaita Jnani like Adi Shankaracharya, he thoroughly enjoys bhakti, Shiva bhakti here, and can at will come out of that and reveal the Advaita fact also. That is why he wrote so many stotra granthas. So Shankaracharya can be author of Saundarya Lahari, which promotes, you know, Dvaita Bhakti, and he can be also the author of Upadesha Sahasri, which promotes Advaitam. So many others, they see contradiction in that, but for the one who really understands Vedanta completely, there will be no contradiction at all whatsoever. They are like two channels, the TV channels, you know, that you can change at will. One is the Paramarthika channel, the Advaita Bhakti part, and the other is Vyavaharika channel, the world. The world is all Dvaitam. At the Vyavaharika level, practical reality, world is Dvaitam. But channels are available. You may enjoy both if you know both. So this text is called Shivananda Lahari, and the word Lahari has several meanings. We can briefly look at some meanings of the word. Number one, it's like a wave, a taranga, or inundation, overflowing of divine bliss. or it is called a torrential stream of Shiva Ananda. So it is also, when we say Shiva Ananda, we should be careful. It is not Shiva's Ananda, but the Ananda that I get from Lord Shiva through the means of Bhakti. Shiva Bhakti Janita Anandaha. The Ananda that I derive out of Shiva Bhakti. And in this meaning, Shiva is the name of the Lord. It is a proper noun. And in the second meaning, we take the word Shiva as an adjective, auspicious. So this is Visheshanam. And in the previous meaning, it is Visheshyam, noun itself. So, Shivaha Anandaha, Shiva Anandaha, auspicious happiness. That is how we can understand the meaning of this word. Then, one might wonder, when we say it is auspicious Ananda, Shiva Ananda, can there be some inauspicious Ananda also? People might ask that question. Swamiji addresses that. Then, the scriptures say, yes, there could be inauspicious Ananda also. And if you see Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, the final chapter, there are three types of Ananda: Tamasik Ananda, Rajasik Ananda, and Sattvik Ananda. Yatta dagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam tatsukam sattvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. So that is about the Sattvik type of bhakti, Sattvik Ananda. Vishaye indriya samyogat yatadagre mrutopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam raja samsmritam. Sattvik Ananda, first it might look like visham, bitter perhaps, but later it gives you permanent sukham. Whereas if it is rajasa sukham, it looks like it may be sweeter in the beginning, but finally it is not going to do you any good. Yadagre chanubante cha sukham mohanam atmanaha nidralasya pramadottam tattamasam udahritam. So all these three types of happiness, sattvic happiness, rajasic happiness, and tamasic happiness, all these three. So these are all, the second two are considered inauspicious. So the three types of ananda, here we will take only two anandas, namely Shiva Ananda or Mangala Ananda and Ashiva Ananda. Shiva opposed to Ashiva. Ashiva Ananda or Amangala Ananda, inauspicious Ananda, as described in the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita that we just read. So, what is auspicious happiness? It is the Sattvic Ananda born out of our association with the Lord, and auspicious activities associated with the Lord, that is called auspicious Ananda. It comes out of Ishwara Sambandha, the relationship with the Lord. Then what is inauspicious Ananda? Any Ananda born out of the contact or association with anything other than Lord. So, Prapancha Sambandha Anandaha is Ashiva Ananda. Any Ananda not associated with the Lord is Ashiva Ananda, or any Ananda associated with everything other than the Lord is Ashiva Ananda. And Ishwara Sambandha Anandaha is called Shiva Ananda. Now the question is, why do we say Ishwara Sambandha Ananda is auspicious and Prapancha Sambandha Ananda is inauspicious? For that also the answer is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukkayonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshuramate budaha. When Ananda arises out of worldly contacts, that Ananda is limited, because the objects of the world are limited. They cannot give you infinite ananda because they are all limited. And so the ananda is enjoyable in the beginning. But when that ananda withdraws, what happens? It becomes terrible. So they are considered to be dukkha hetuhu, potential sorrow. And so are called amangala ananda, which are mixed with potential sorrow. When they are lost, when that Ananda is lost, it is going to be terrible to bear. Whereas Shivananda is Ishwara Sambandha Janita Anandaha, and this Ananda does not have Amangalam at all, because Ishwara happens to be Nityaha, eternal. So the previous Ananda is Anitya Ananda, so Dukkha Hetu, so Dukkha Mishritam, so it has the component of dukkha, whereas ది ఈశ్వర సంబంధ ఆనంద ఇస్ నిత్య ఆనంద అండ్ సో మంగళ ఆస్పిషస్. సో శంకరాచార్య సేస్, ఓ పీపుల్ డోంట్ బి క్యారీడ్ అవే బై శివ అశివ ఆనంద. ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ శివానంద, ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ శివానంద టు యూ, దాట్ ఆల్సో నాట్ ఇన్ డ్రాప్స్ అండ్ ట్రికల్స్ బట్ యాస్ లహరి ఆఫ్ శివానంద, కోపియస్ ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ శివానంద ఫార్ ఎంజాయింగ్ పెరనియల్లీ. ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు గివ్ యూ ఇన్ డ్రాప్స్, ఇట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బి ఎ కోపియస్ ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ శివానంద. దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు గివ్ ఇట్ టు యూ. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ శివానంద లహరి, టొరెన్షియల్ స్ట్రీమ్ ఆఫ్ ఆనంద బార్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ శివ భక్తి. సో విత్ దిస్ బ్యాక్గ్రౌండ్ నౌ లెట్ అస్ ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ది టెక్స్ట్ ఆఫ్ శివానంద లహరి. శివాభ్యాం నమః. శివానంద లహరి శ్లోక 1. కళాభ్యాం చూడాలంకృతం శశికలాభ్యాం నిజతపః ఫలాభ్యాం భక్తేషు ప్రకటిత ఫలాభ్యాం భవతు మే శివాభ్యామస్తోకం త్రిభువన శివాభ్యాం హృది పునః భవాభ్యాం ఆనంద స్ఫురదనుభవాభ్యాం నతిరియం. వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ శ్లోక టు స్టార్ట్ విత్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ రియలీ లుక్ అట్ ద లిటరరీ బ్యూటీ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ లైన్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్, కళాభ్యాం శశికళాభ్యాం, సెకండ్ లైన్ ఫలాభ్యాం ప్రకటిత ఫలాభ్యాం, శివాభ్యాం త్రిభువన శివాభ్యాం, అండ్ దెన్ భవాభ్యాం స్ఫురదను భవాభ్యాం. సో నైస్లీ స్ట్రక్చర్డ్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ అ మంగళ శ్లోక ఇన్ విచ్ శంకరాచార్య ఆఫర్స్ హిస్ నమస్కారాస్ టు లార్డ్ శివ. సో నమస్క్రియారూప మంగళ ఆచరణం. అండ్ హీ వై డస్ హీ డూ దిస్? బికాస్ శంకరాచార్య నోస్ ఈవెన్ దో ఫ్రమ్ పారమార్థిక దృష్టి ఐ ఆమ్ నిర్గుణం బ్రహ్మ. శంకరాచార్య ఇస్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ అద్వైతి, హీ నోస్ దాట్, జ్ఞాని. సో పారమార్థిక దృష్టి ఫ్రమ్ దాట్ యాంగిల్ హీ నోస్ ఐఎమ్ నిర్గుణం బ్రహ్మ హూ ఈస్ సచ్చిదానంద స్వరూప వితౌట్ ఎనీ లిమిటేషన్. బట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద వ్యావహారిక దృష్టి, ఫ్రమ్ ద ప్రాక్టికల్ లిమిటేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్, యాజ్ ది అహంకార ఐఎమ్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ లిమిటేషన్. ఆచార్య నోస్. సో ఏ మహా అద్వైత జ్ఞాని లైక్ శంకరాచార్య ఆల్సో నోస్ దట్ అహంకార ఈజ్ ఫైనైట్ అండ్ లిమిటెడ్. అండ్ సిన్స్ ఐఎమ్ అన్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఫ్రమ్ వ్యావహారిక దృష్టి, ద వ్యావహారిక ప్లేన్, ఐ నీడ్ ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఫార్ ఎవ్రీ వర్క్ దట్ ఐ అండర్టేక్. ఐ నీడ్ ద గ్రేస్, దర్ఫోర్ హియర్ ఐఎమ్ ఫంక్షనింగ్ యాజ్ అహంకార, నాట్ ఆత్మ. I am not functioning as Sachidananda Atma. I am the writer. I am writing poetry. That ahankara. Why? Atma cannot write poetry. Poetry is written by what? By ahankara only. Atma cannot write poetry. The relative I, that alone can write poetry. And so Shankaracharya openly admits that even though he has said aham brahma asmi, aham eva, mayeva sakalam jatam, the Acharya knows it very clearly. He is nothing but the Parabrahman. As an individual, he knows that the grace of Lord is required. And that is why in Advaita Vedanta classes also, we start with a prayer. If you see the beauty, the teaching is what in Advaita Vedanta classes, I and the God are one. That is what the teaching is. But to start the teaching, what do? We seek the grace of Lord. So even though the teaching is I and the Lord are one, but to start the teaching, we seek the grace of the Lord. So, Namaskara is Pratibandha Nivartaye. I share Shivananda with all the Shiva Bhaktas. Please bless me to complete this work without any obstacles. That is the prayer. Not only I should complete this work, this should be read by more people. Otherwise, what is the use of a manuscript sitting eternally in some library? Therefore, Grantha Prachaya Siddhyartham. అవిజ్ఞేన పరిసమాప్తి సిద్ధ్యర్థం చ నమస్క్రియారూపం మంగళ ఆచరణం గ్రంథకారః కరోతి. సో ది గ్రంథకారః, ది ఆథర్, హీఈస్ ఫార్ దీస్ టూ రీజన్స్ హీఈస్ రైటింగ్ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ టెక్స్ట్. అండ్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద నమస్కార హియర్? వీ హ్యావ్ టు లుక్ అట్ ది ఫోర్త్ లైన్, ఇయం నతిహి, దట్ ఇస్ ద ఫోర్త్ లైన్. అండ్ ఇన్ ద సెకండ్ లైన్ దే మే భవతు, that is there in the second line, and in the third line, Shivabhyam. So we have to pluck the words from various places, put them together to make the order. So Shivabhyam me iyam natihi bhavatu. That is how we should put them together. Let this namaskara of mine, yam natihi, this namaskara may of mine, let this namaskara of mine be offered to Shivabhyam. Yam natihi means this namaskara. May means mine. So, Shashti Vibhakti. So, if you take as Chaturthi Vibhakti, then the meaning will be, it is namaskara for me. So, we have to be careful. So, actually, he wants to glorify Shiva and Shiva Bhakti here. And so, namaskaram should be to Lord Shiva only, right? Because that is the intent. He is talking about Shiva Bhakti. So, the namaskara should be directed towards the Lord. But Shankaracharya thinks perhaps my namaskara to Shiva alone might perhaps anger Parvati. Perhaps. That's what he thought. I don't know. So, there is a paramarthika shakti and there is a vyavaharika shakti. Vyavaharika shakti is the shakti, Parvati. So, both are important. Paramarthika shakti is Shiva and vyavaharika shakti, Parvati. Both are important. So, Shiva represents the paramarthika shakti and Parvati represents the vyavaharika shakti. That is why we say Parvati Parameshwarao. Vagartaviva sampruktau, Vagarta pratipatteye, Jagata pitarau vande, Parvati Parameshwarau. They are the universal parents. Therefore, may my namaskarams go to both of them. The word used here is what? Shivabhyam. It is dual number in Sanskrit. In Sanskrit, we have singular, dual and plural. So, this is dual. So, we have to split it as Shivaha, masculine gender, and Shiva, the feminine gender. Shiva means Parvati. So, there is a beautiful stotra called Ardhanarishwara Ashtakam. In that every pada, it ends as Namashivayaicha Namashivaya. Namashivayaicha Namashivaya. So, one line glorifies Lord Shiva, another line glorifies Parvati, and in the fourth line, both are glorified together as Namaha Shivayaicha. Shivayaicha refers to Parvati and Namashivaya refers to Shiva. So, Shivascha Shivacha Shivau Tabhyam Shivabhyam. So again, Chaturthi Dvivachanam. So rest of the verse is the glorification of Shiva and Parvati or Uma Maheshwara. So first line is what? The first word. What type of Uma Maheshwara it is? Kalabhyam. Kalabhyam. Those who are in the form of all sciences. The Parvati, Shiva and Parvati are in the form of all sciences, arts, fine arts, skills, knowledge. Kala refers to all of them. Knowledge, skill, art, fine art, performing arts, all of them. Lord Shiva is also an embodiment of knowledge, skill in all forms of arts. He is the greatest dancer in the world. Equally is Parvati also. Lord Shiva's dance is called what? Tandava. And Goddess Parvati's dance is called Lasya. So there is Lasya, this is Tandava. Both are great in fine arts. Not only that, in all forms of knowledge, para and apara, paravidya and aparavidya, in both form, all forms of knowledge, actually in our tradition, they talk about 64 kalas. Chatushashti kala radya, chatushashti kalamayi. Ambadis worship like that. Chatushashti means 64. Chatushashti kala rupa bhyam. 64 arts, 64 different types of arts. And why should the acharya invoke the Lord as kala here? Because here he requires the kala of writing poems. He wants to be a poet. So for that art, he needs to be blessed by the Lord of all kalas. Otherwise, the poetry will not have beauty at all. So kalabhyam. So he wants to use the word kalabhyam from because he knows what he wants to do. Then chuda lankrata shashi kalabhyam. Both Shiva and Parvati, they both wear ornaments on their head. What is that ornament? Chandra Kala or Shashi Kala, the digit moon. Their Chuda, Chuda means head. From that only the word Chuda Mani has come. So their heads are decorated with the ornament of Shashi Kala or Chandra Kala. That is who have Chandra Kala bedecked heads. And Chandra Kala or the digit of the moon represents what? It represents time. Because time is always measured in terms of movement of sun and moon. So, if you take all the tithis, Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, Amavasya, they are all based on what? They are all based on Chandra Kala. There are 15 Kalas, they make one fortnight. Similarly, sun is responsible for the day. So, Chandra and Surya, they represent the time principle. By keeping the moon on the head, what is symbolized? For the Lord, time is an ornament. For the Jiva, like us, time is what? It's a terror. It's a tormentor. It's a frightener. For the Lord, they are ornaments and not a source of fear at all. Therefore, Chudalankritam Shashikalabhyam. And here also, dual number that indicates both. And there also, there's a subtle difference. Normally, we say that a person is beautified by the ornament. Most of the people, they are beautified by whatever they wear. That means without whatever they wear, they may not be beautiful. As beautiful, perhaps. But Shankaracharya does not want to simply imply that thing here, because Lord is infinitely beautiful. So there, you cannot add any beauty to them. Their beauty cannot be enhanced. So he says, it is not that Lord is beautified by Chandrakala, but it is the other way around. Chandrakala is beautified by the association of the Lord. Therefore, Chudabhyam Alankrite Chandrakale Yayoho Tabhyam. Chudalankrita Shashikalabhyam. So those two, by whose heads the Chandrakala are beautified, who add charm to the digit of the moon, Chandrakala, that namaha actually should be added to each one of them. So Kalabhyam Iyam Natihi. Iyam Natihi means this namaskara. That's what we already saw. So Kalabhyam we said, so Chudalankrita Shashikalabhyam Iyam Natihi. This namaskara to that Lord, to those, the God and Goddess, Shiva and Parvati, who are having this crescent moon on their head. And Nija Tapaha Palabhyam. How do they look at each other as a couple? It is very interesting. How do Shiva and Parvati look at each other as couple? They will often take stock of their married life or married life. Shankaracharya says, Nija Tapaha Palabhyam. For a lot of us, you know, a friend who asked the question, how many of us will be willing to remarry the same spouse again in this life? If they ask that question, how many will openly come out and say, yes, I am going to have the same spouse again in this life? That question, you know, it looks like a tricky question. But how you take stock of one's relationship with the spouse in a married life? So, Nijatapaha Palabhyam. Shiva, what he says, I got you, Parvati, because of the past tapas and punyam I have done. That is how I got you. I have got a wonderful wife. That's what Shiva tells. And what Parvati tells, she also tells the same thing. I got a wonderful husband because of my purvajanya punyam, purvajanma punyam. So that means both are very happily married, made for each other. So nija tapaha palabhyam. Both are together because of the mutual punyam of each other. Nijaha means their own, tapaha, punyam. Palabhyam, the result of that punyam. So this is a compound word, should be all, nija tapaha, palabhyam, should be all one word. And that is why they are the vagartavya sampritto, because of the reason, because they are ever inseparable. You can never separate the meaning and the word. When the word is uttered, meaning goes with it. I cannot say I will tell the word today and send the meaning to you tomorrow. So Vagartave, the Vak and Artha, they always go together. They are ever inseparable. That is how Shiva and Parvati are. Not only that, Bhakteshu Prakatita Palabhyam. Not only they have attained the results of their punyam, they are responsible for the fructification of the devotees' punyam also. People's Prakatanam. Prakatanam means manifestation. Fructification of what? The palam. Palam of their, of what? Palam of their own karmas. Whatever karma people have done, the palam of all of them. That means what? Karma pala datrubhyam. They are the givers of the karma pala to their devotees or to the entire creation. Bhakteshu prakatita palabhyam. And then we already explained bhakteshu, the bhavatu me. We already, me natihi bhavatu. That is a connection. We have already seen that earlier. So Shivabhyam. Shivabhyam also we have seen when we first mentioned in this shloka, we already saw Shivabhyam. So both are auspicious. So Namah Shivabhyam, Navayavanabhyam, Paraspara Srishtavapurtarabhyam, Nagendra Kanya, Vrishakendra Abhyam, Namo Namah Shankara Parvati Bhyam. And not only they are the embodiment of auspiciousness, they are also so saturated that they give auspiciousness to the entire world of creation. Tribhuvana Shivabhyam, those who are the source of abundance of Mangalam. Astokam means abundance. Stokam means alpam. Astokam means analpam, in abundance. And what do you mean by analpam? Not limited abundance. Abundance, it's not limited. Tribhuvana, for the three worlds, they are giving this happiness. So, Tribhuvananam, Astokaha, Shivaha, Yabhyam, Thabhyam. So, they, because of whom there is this abundance of Mangalam for all the three lokas. So, that is why they are called Shivam Karaha, Shivakaraha, etc. That's why the one who always causes Mangalam. Shivam, Shivakaram, Shantam. And where do they reside? Hridi Punaha Bhavabhyam. They repeatedly appear in the heart of devotees. Punaha, Punapunaha. Repeatedly they appear. Bhavabhyam. Bhavabhyam is they appear, they manifest. They are not produced. They are eternal. They manifest. They appear in the Hridayam of the Bhakta. And why does Sangharacharya say is repeatedly Punaha? Whenever they do japa, upasana, they invoke the Lord in the heart. Before Gayatri japa, Gayatri devata, they chant, Gayatri mavahayami, Savitri mavahayami, Saraswati mavahayami. They invoke the goddess in the heart. The bhaktas do repeated invocation and punaha bhavabhyam. So, yata yata dhyayati, tata tata, navanavon meshenesha unmeshe. Unmeshanena upadhya utpadyata iti. Whenever one thinks, they appear in new forms of ananda. They all, whenever we think of that Lord, they appear in new forms each time. So sadyojatam prapadyami, I worship the one who appears instantly. Sadyojatam, to that Lord. So this is Yajurveda. So it says that. So and if you take it in the philosophical sense also, we can say the Lord being Chaitanyam, the consciousness, and Parvati being the vritti, the thought modes and thought, Shakti. So both Shiva and Shakti, the consciousness and thought, they repeatedly arise in the mind in the form of vritti jnanam. In fact, every jnanam that arises in our mind is a mixture of consciousness and thought. Mere thought cannot be called jnanam because it is inert. This all in the Vedanta classes, we give all these details. Thought, all these, you know, manas, buddhi, chitta, ahankara, they are all the subtle bodies, they are all inert. So, mere consciousness cannot be jnanam also because it is unspecified. So, the consciousness becomes a specific knowledge only because of association with a thought. So, Samanya Chaitanyam plus Vritti, the thought that gives Vishesha Jnanam. So, Samanya Chaitanyam plus Vritti equal to Vishesha Jnanam. Therefore, Vishesha Jnana Rupena, Uma and Parameshwara, repeatedly they arise in the mind of whom? Of everybody. So, pratibodha viditam. So, kriti punarbhavabhyam, in the hearts. And how are they experienced by the devotees? They appear in the heart and shine in the form of ananda. Not like some who appear, you know, be a source of dukkham. If somebody comes, we don't want them to come. If they come, oh, this is a source of dukkham. But in the case of Lord, it is not the case. Ananda rupena spuradhanupavabhyam. We have seen Natiriyam before, earlier. Therefore, those who are ever experienced in the form of resplendent Ananda, to that Parvati and Parameshwara, Yam Natihi, this Namaskara I offer. The first letter of the shloka is Kakara, starts with Kalabhyam Ka, which is also the first letter of the Panchadasakshari Mantra of the Devi, the 15-lettered Bija Mantra. So, this shloka is, when we recite the shloka, he is supposed to have the benefit of the Panchadasakshari Japa. That is indicative of the Dhyanam of Parashakti and the accompanying Parama Mangalam of reciting the shloka. So, Kakara Rupa Kalyani Kalyana Gunashalini. That's what Lalita Atrishati says, Kalyana Gunashalini. So let us read the shloka once more. Kalabhyam chudalankrita shashikalabhyam nijatapaha phalabhyam bhakteshu prakatita phalabhyam bhavatume shivabhyam astokam tribhuvana shivabhyam hridi punaha avabhyam anandas puradanubhavabhyam natiriyam. So if you practice reading many times, it will be ananda. Otherwise, it will be otherwise. So that we... By going through the lectures, those who have either have not read this earlier, one can practice it so that this become familiar with you as we go with the lectures. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti lina seya parasamaheshwara Sri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.